Yeah.
Look at my hairy chest.
Make it announced.
I had a camera, well, a painter, a Jackson Pollock shoved up my ass. That was fun. No, it wasn't. It definitely wasn't. Don't do colonoscopies. They're not fun. Fortunately, I'm not dying. Or is that unfortunately? We'll find out. So we've got just what's happened over the past few weeks to talk about. Game announcements, lots of announcements, state of play, fake E3, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, go on. We'll go a different way. Francesco, you can start us off. What do you want to talk about? What's been talked about?
Well, I'd say it's better to go in order so that we don't forget anything. So I think the first thing we should be talking about is the state of play. It was 2 weeks ago now, around 2 weeks ago. And yeah. It was mostly a third-party show. But they announced some pretty cool stuff. Well, not really announced, but they showed more of stuff they already announced. Yeah. Personally, I'll be predictable, and it's the stuff that impressed me the most was Street Fighter VI and Final Fantasy XVI. In an absolutely unsurprising way. Actually, with Street Fighter VI, I was really impressed with that first showing, because those hip hop aesthetics don't really. Not really doing much for me, but then when they started showing more, I said, "Now they're getting it." So it was a strong showing anyway, because it's the new director and producer that they got on board on Street Fighter V with the final season, and they show that they care, because they really, you know, they're moving forward, but they're not really forgetting the roots. They're being extremely faithful. And to be honest, I'm more impressed now than I was then. You know, it's probably the Street Fighter cycle. Every time a new game is announced, everyone says, oh no, this is going to be good. And then you get used to it the more time passes. And then Final Fantasy 16, that was a very strong show.
Anyway, if I can chime in a bit, I'd say as someone who's not really a big fan of fighting games, Street Fighter VI did look interesting. And, you know, they've said that the super moves will be easier, right, for newcomers or something.
Yeah, like. they have the motor controls, basically a button and a direction. Pretty much how it works in Smash Brothers. You'll be limited because you can't do everything with that control scheme. So it's probably a stepping stone for newcomers. Then you start with that, you like it, then you start learning the traditional controls. So it makes sense if you want to get more people on board, like people who play Smash or never play Street Fighter. And I think it's a good move, and it doesn't have any advantage over the traditional controls. So it's not like it's impossible that people using those controls would be able to win against someone who's more experienced. So it's a good thing. It's not going to affect balance too much, I think.
And also they have
cross-platform play too. So this is going to be a good thing, and it will be interesting to see how it will work. Because especially between PlayStation and Xbox, we don't even know if it's possible, because they just said cross-platform, but they didn't specify between which platforms.
Well, it would be weird if it was just...
It would be weird, yeah, but it's not the first time something like this happens, because Sony gets in the way. I mean, they prevented Street Fighter V from getting on Xbox. It's not like it's impossible they'll do something else again. I don't think so, but who knows?
And then there is also the adventure mode, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, world tour mode. Yeah, they described it as a sort of Shenmue-influenced adventure mode, like you create your character and you just explore locations, pick fights. It sounds interesting, and it sounds miles ahead of the story mode of Street Fighter V. It was basically a long movie with some easy fights every now and then. I think this will get a lot of new people on board, because Street Fighter hasn't always been a great series for single player stuff. Even Street Fighter 4, it just had the usual stuff, arcade, survival, so it wasn't really...
Well, it's a fighting game, they're never that good for single player stuff.
You know, they say it's not really true because of the NetherRealm Studios games. Like
they made excellent single player stuff.
Okay, like, maybe it's a fighting game, so it's not my sort of single player stuff.
Yeah,
I don't. Well, to be honest, it's like if I want to play a game where I just have to throw the controller at a wall to win, then I'll just throw the controller at a wall.
Well, to be honest, I don't think I'll play much of that world for more. I'll just try it out, but I want to beat people up. That's why I play Street Fighter.
Well, that's why you go prowl on the homeless people in the street.
No, it's better not to do that around here.
Okay.
Trust me, yeah, it's better not to do that. Yeah.
And then there, you said, of course, Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah, Final Fantasy 16.
It's a big one, but we still don't know the platforms, right? So,
which platforms? It's probably going to be a PlayStation 5 exclusive for...
Limited time. How probably a year, maybe, I'm guessing. Same as Final Fantasy VII Remake.
But, Final Fantasy 15 was not exclusive on
Do think that'll just be because Sony didn't make the deal at the time, and I think Sony's just, they made the deals. They want the exclusives until they go and buy Square Enix, that is.
Yeah, they still haven't.
It's gonna happen.
They still haven't.
I just wish they allowed PC,
I think when they revealed it last year, they had something beneath the trailer, like they mentioned PC, but it was not clear if they're. It wasn't on the trailer, it was during the stream. And then in the trailer, I think they removed that. When they published it on YouTube, they removed it. There was a mention of PC stuff.
Yeah, possibly.
But we don't know. And they're not telling. Which is weird, because if it was set in stone, they probably would have said console exclusive. And I don't think they did.
Yeah, I don't think they've said anything yet about platforms officially, so it's still to be seen. Well, it sounds like remakes are really a big thing lately, because the State of Play also showcased Resident Evil 4 for the first time. So, what did you think, Francesco?
Chris wants to talk.
Well, I'm starting to think it's like Resident Evil 4 is not an old game. It's getting bad when they're remaking games that, like, you can't even class them as retro. You can't even class them as old.
I mean, well, Resident Evil 4 is not really new. It's older. It's not really new. It's more than 10 years, so...
17 years, I think, originally. Yeah.
Really? Okay, maybe it's older than I thought it was.
Yeah, the thing is that the original has aged well. It's still very playable today.
I think that's the reason why it still looks reasonably like HD and everything. So there's not really much you can do to progress it.
It still plays well today.
I think that's it. I'm not a fan of remaking things which if you release the if you just re-release the original, it wouldn't look too far out of date or position. Like the, you know, 1, 2, and 3, I can understand. They've, you know, we've learnt things in controls. Visuals have improved a lot. Whereas 4 is just like, that you may as well just copy and paste the original game.
Yeah, you know that the weird thing is that they skipped one of the best game, one of the best classic Resident Evil games. That's Code Veronica, and people have been asking for that for years. And Capcom acts like if it doesn't exist.
Yeah, just... that one was originally, I think, released for the Dreamcast.
Yeah, first. I still have the original copy somewhere.
I just, it's going to be the same argument I use for, well, it's an even bigger argument when you come to the next remake, what we're going to talk about, Last of Us, because there's no fucking point. I've got older things in my bloody freezer. I've certainly got older alcohol.
Oh, that's an easy one.
It's just, I don't know. I just think, when you've got a game that was like Resident Evil 4 was it released on the PS4?
No, GameCube. It was a GameCube exclusive.
Did it not get re-released on the PS4?
Oh yes, it did.
I'm gonna say So it's like, I don't know, when it's a game that's been on just the last generation of consoles, I think remaking it's a bit soon. Then again, I don't. It just seems soon. It just seems too soon.
The thing is, Capcom has been making a lot of money with these remakes.
Yeah,
so.
I understand why as a business they're doing it. It's like, it's just going to be preposterous when probably in a year's time, 2 years' time, we're going to get the Resident Evil 5 remake, which is only 13 years old. And then...
That game needs a remake, but not from a gameplay point of view, but everything else, because it didn't really feel Resident Evil.
Yeah, well. And then they're going to end up remaking Resident Evil 6, which is probably like... That'll be 10 that weeks old.
But that really needs a remake.
I say, in about 5 years' time, we're going to have Resident Evil Bloody Village remake. It's like, it's only just come out.
They're called HD remasters.
They're going to remaster them for the next generation.
Yeah,
I mean, I've got an idea, Capcom. Why not make new games? Like, you know, you've announced one new game that Alessio's really happy about. Dragon's Dogma 2.
Yeah. Well, they're finally making it, and sadly, they just announced it with the logo.
Yeah.
And it was kind of weird because they did like a 12-minute show where they were talking about the making of the first game, and they waited like until the last minute, and they were like, "Oh, by the way," they removed their shirts, and then they had the Dragon's Dogma 2 logo, and they said, "Oh, we're making it by." It's just one of the most Japanese announcements I've ever seen.
I didn't watch this. Did you just say they removed their shirts?
Well, yeah, they had Dragon's Dogma 2 t-shirts underneath.
Okay, that makes more sense. I'm just thinking it's like, I know how we'll announce a game. Let's sort of just get a group of men to take their tops off.
Yeah.
Look at my hairy chest.
Please be excited about our naked chest.
Oh, but seriously though, they did say it's being made with the Ray Engine, which is great news. Although, I mean, they haven't made a proper open world game yet with that engine, so it's probably going to be a bit of a challenge in that regard.
It'll not be released until 2024. They've got time.
Well, they're practicing with bigger environments with Monster Hunter Rise.
Yeah, and
they're not as big as Monster Hunter World, but yeah, they're experimenting. They've experimented with that, so they probably know what they're doing.
And
I've still no idea what games have been released, though.
One of the, you know, since you mentioned the Last of Us remake, one of the big news is that it's coming to PC. Although they didn't say a release date yet for PC. And Sony also announced Spider-Man Remastered for PC.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, their support is growing for PC. And, you know, hopefully it will get to a point where it's just maybe a year of delay between the console and PC release.
Well, I've been saying that's going to be the eventual thing for a while now. It will just be a year's delay. 1 year to get all the consoles, you know, the major console sales out of the way and give people and then come bring it to the PC. It makes the most sense financially. So I just think, well, I say you just want the PC sales, but I just think that, yeah, same as I've said, The Last of Us remakes, just is bringing it to PC, fair enough. I understand that, but I would have just had a remaster, but that's just me. But this is Sony milking what they can. I mean, it's going to be a full priced, you know, brand new sort of new title price game. It's not that old.
It also, well, it is 10 years old, but I agree that The Last of Us perhaps, you know, didn't quite warrant a full remake. On the other hand, like we said, I think, in previous episodes, you know, it also has a lot to do with the upcoming show, I think. So they are getting new bands on board. So it's all part of the larger strategy on the IP, I think.
It's just not going to be worth the price it's going to cost. It's just not going to be worth the price. Because haven't they announced it? It's like, for the American price, it's like 70 bucks or, you know, £60 or whatever, 55 or whatever it's going to be. And then some special versions.
I mean, the catch is also that the game doesn't actually have the multiplayer that was originally available for PS3 and PS4.
I am so sad about that. So very sad.
It doesn't even have that. But, you know, at least on PC, it'll probably get cheaper quite quickly. So...
I'm going to have to admit I'm not exactly sad about lacking any sort of multiplayer. You know my thoughts on multiplayer. Well, I think you know my thoughts on human beings in general. Keep them away.
No, but you can shoot people. You can punch people.
Yeah.
I know. I always say this to you.
You have to look at the bright side.
Yeah. You don't have to play co-op.
Yep. Yeah. My headset's playing up today.
Quite a few other announcements at this Naughty 3 thing. We also got a release date for Overwatch 2, although it's only for the PvP part, because the PvE mode is coming later. The game will be free to play. They are removing loot boxes, which is good, but there will be, of course, cosmetic microtransactions, battle pass, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And also, Activision Blizzard did show Diablo 4. They said it's coming out next year. It will have cross-play and cross-progression among all platforms. I have to say, what they showed at the Xbox showcase was really quite good, honestly. It looked very good, I think. And they did confirm they will have none of the, you know, loot box stuff that's in Diablo Immortal. So that's good. And of course, Microsoft could not confirm that it's coming to Game Pass because the deal isn't done yet. But I do think if the deal goes through, it will be one of the first games to go to Game Pass. It's a pretty big one, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking of Microsoft's whole event, and I quite enjoyed it, to be fair. I enjoyed the weirder games. I mean, what was that weird one with the guns were talking? High on Life, that was it. I mean, that was the first one they showed, and I'm just like, ooh, this looks interesting. I will play the weird talky gun game.
Yeah, interestingly, actually, it seems like High on Life and another game that I cannot quite remember, but both of these games were actually originally meant to be Stadia games. So
which one was it you were saying? Yeah, I remember you. I can't remember which one you said it was going to be. Was it like Flintlock or something like that?
No, it's not Flintlock. It's another game. Let me see if I can find it.
I can't remember.
The Quarry as well, actually.
Oh, The Quarry, that was, yeah.
That's the report,
that would have been, I reviewed The Quarry quite recently. I enjoyed it. It's Supermassive. It's one of their style of game. So, yeah, same as I said in our little group chat thing, Google are just far too short-sighted. The games industry, you need to go long term to make it have any success. Otherwise, well, if you're running a platform anyway, because there's no way of getting that quick instant success and massive returns as Google obviously expected. But good riddance to them. I'm not sad. Definitely not sad.
Well, everyone is
High on Life for the Xbox. To be fair, as much as I don't normally do these showcases, I actually watched that and I thought, actually, this was quite good. I mean, they had a lot of games. They showed a lot of gameplay, hopefully. And there were a few things where they just showed, clips. But, I mean, High on Life, Plague Tale, both games I'm massively interested in. Diablo 4, again. I've reviewed the last few Diablo, so I'll have to do that, and I do like Diablo. And then you had weird looking games like Flintlock, then the other one by I can't remember who's done it, that Pentiment, that weird like old style game.
Yeah, Pentiment is a small project by Josh Sawyer, and basically was the lead of Fallout New Vegas and Pillars of Eternity at Obsidian. And, after Deadfire, he was kind of burned out a bit on doing bigger games. So he basically asked to do a smaller game like Pentiment. And I think it really fits well with Game Pass, you know, because it's a small game, but it does add to the richness of and the breadth of the library, because it's quite unique from both, I think, an aesthetic point of view and the gameplay point of view. Basically, you are like a historian, I think, or something like that in 16th century Bavaria, and you have to solve a murder mystery.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting one. And also they showed Minecraft Legends, which looks quite fun, possibly. It's kind of
an
action strategy game, I think they said.
Yeah, I remember looking at that and thinking, Minecraft, but strategy? Okay, yeah. If you know what I'm like with strategy.
Yeah. And also there was the big announcement of Persona, all of the Persona games coming finally to PC and Xbox, which I think fans had been waiting for a long time, So that was great news. Of course, the games are not new, but they're still very much anticipated, and Persona fans on PC were waiting a long time. So it was great. Then Hideo Kojima appeared as well, but he just said they are doing a game with Xbox, I think based on the cloud, which was the rumor as well. They didn't say anything else, but I think this is also the game that Kojima was making with Stadia before Stadia went, as you say, dead, yeah, basically.
Before Google killed it off within like 10 minutes of starting.
So if you actually put everything together, Google could have had a decent lineup, like the Quarry, Eye on Life, Kojima's new game, Jade Raymond's game. But like you said, they didn't really have the patience for it to pay off.
They're just stupid. That's all they are. Like, I've never understood that. If you're going to go into an industry, know what the industry is that you're going into. Don't expect to suddenly dominate it within 12 seconds. Especially when the investment they did wasn't even that big.
Yeah.
Microsoft lost billions upon billions upon billions when they started in the games industry. And now, obviously...
No, I mean, it's not like Google was going bankrupt if they at least waited these games to be released.
Yeah.
And they're also a big company with lots of pockets. So that's weird. I think Francesco, I don't know. Well, it's weird compared to other companies. Being Google, it's normal, yeah.
Google.
I think Francesco's favorite game, I can guess it from the Xbox and Bethesda showcase.
Yeah, it was the new game from Team Ninja, War on Fallen Dynasty. Well, we haven't seen how the game plays actually, because it was a cinematic trailer, so we're just seeing characters kicking the shit out of each other, monsters, dragons, all that kind of stuff. But they said it's going to be, it's pretty much the sequel to Neo. So it's going to probably, well, we could tell that just from the trailer. They said it outright that it's going to be a Souls-like, like Neo with some new stuff, like a little bit more action-oriented than Neo, which was already pretty more action-oriented than the Souls series, because it's much faster and there are combos and that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'm very interested in that. I actually want to see it in action before I can say I want it. But Team Ninja isn't disappointed in the past few years. They released excellent games. Even the everyone's favorite game to shit on, that's Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin, plays great. And it's actually much better than we expected it to be. And it's the Team Ninja trademark is there, so I'm very excited to see that they're doing something else and in the same vein around, yeah. Pretty much the same vein.
I think it was also surprising to see that it's coming out soon, like early 2023, right?
Yeah, but I think it's going to be delayed. If it was this close, they would have shown more.
Everything gets delayed.
Yeah, everything gets delayed, but it's probably...
Yeah.
It's going to be, they would have shown, I think it was one of the few games they only showed a cinematic trailer. Everything during the Xbox showcase, I think almost everything else was gameplay. So that's telling. Probably farther than early 2022. But
I think they did say a few things in like interviews. There were a couple of interviews in the, I think from IGN, for example. Yeah. They said that they will add the jump button. So that's one thing.
More verticality to maps. Yeah, it's based around the Chinese martial arts. So they just want to take advantage of that and doing all the... I expect to see a lot of flipping around, jumping attacks, that kind of stuff. Yeah, what they said sounds great. Who wants to see it now? Because talk is cheap. Let's see the stuff.
The setting is also different, I think, right?
It's the Three Kingdoms era of Chinese history. It's pretty much a Dynasty Warrior setting, but is darker. It? Yeah, it is.
I'm suddenly interested.
It is. Well, yeah.
It's still supernatural, though, I think, right?
Well, yeah, that's what they said. That's what they said in this interview. They said it's bringing together the DNA from Koitanko and Team Ninja. Then it makes sense, you know. They just, I don't think they could have done much else with the Neo World. Unless they were going back in time. Because they
yeah, much I think they said they wanted to change, you know, the setting as it was, basically. Yeah, I think either they set it in the Western countries, but that probably wouldn't have worked. So China was the next best bet.
If they made a Western type of game, I guess it would have been another Souls. Dark Souls, pretty much.
Yeah.
As a side thing.
And then
go on.
The big one. Starfield. God? So what did you think, Chris? I think you said you didn't watch that much because you didn't need to. Was that right?
Essentially, yeah. I watched little bits of it. The thing is, I know I'm going to want Starfield. I know I'm going to want to play it, but I'm very wary of Bethesda games at the moment. With good reason, because obviously Fallout 76 was a huge stinking pile of shit. And when you playing Fallout 76 and seeing that as it's ruined the past games. Not ruined them, but it's taken some of the sheen off of the past Bethesda games. Because you see, you could always get through those games. You could always get through how clunky they were, because there was always something there. And there was something to just distract you from the clunkiness. But Fallout 76 sort of made you look back at them and think, you know what, they weren't actually as good as you thought they were. Well, it's like not rose-tinted glasses, but shit-tinted glasses. So, Starfield will be interesting. I'm wary because I know how buggy they can be, but correct me if I'm wrong, Starfield is using a different engine?
No, it's the same.
Oh, then we're fucked. We're fucked.
Well, yeah,
never mind, we're fucked.
I think they are both true in that it's the same, but it is also as they've said a long time ago, the biggest evolution of the engine they've made. And honestly, I think it shows in the gameplay, because it's quite a bit. I mean, you know, in the same Bethesda showcase, we've also had the new trailer for Fallout 76, the expeditions to the pit. So you can see the difference between the two, and it's quite big. You know, it's of course Starfield still needs to be optimized. I mean, that's after all why it was delayed, but it already looks quite a bit better, I think, on many levels. And also, I think the reveal was very interesting on many aspects. For example, we didn't even know if we could pilot the ship before. Not only that, but we also have space combat. They said that space combat is going to be a bit on the slower side, so not twitch-based. They're actually taking a bit of inspiration from MechWarrior, in that basically you need to reroute power to shields or weapons. So it's not exactly Twitch kind of space shooter.
They're taking but also the Star Trek Online. It's not MechWarrior.
And also, you can do a lot of things. You can basically board other ships. You can disable them. You can steal them, even. And you can build them as well. They showed the very, very interesting building tool for spaceships. You can swap parts, you know, make different spaceships, and that's very exciting. And people
that's
will be
very much an extension of the town building you could do in Fallout 4. And I mean, I expected that coming. It's going to be interesting, like you say, fitting the parts together and all that. It's going to be interesting how it works on, well, if even it has sort of like space physics. We'll see on that. Like inertia and
everything.
Sorry?
I expect the space physics bugs.
I expect that's the disappointing thing. It's like you could always overlook the bugs, but same as anything, you sort of get people giving you a lot of free will until you make that a monumental fuck up, and then you suddenly don't have that don't have that goodwill, not free will. And I, to be fair, I see this coming for CD Projekt Red when they announce their, you know, when their next game comes out, the goodwill will have been depleted due to Cyberpunk, and Bethesda need to get that goodwill back. Starfield, I'm interested. I always will be interested. Same as the next Fallout when it comes out, and same as the next Elder Scrolls. They're games that I will have on day one. Either I'll be reviewing them beforehand or I'll have them on day one. Simple as that. The difficulty will be is like with Starfield, I worry how boring it will get at points, because with the purported 1,000 plus worlds, we know that maybe a dozen, maybe 20 will have been handcrafted. But there's so much procedural generation, and it's going to be linking back to, as they did in Skyrim, where you had procedural generated quest lines. So, like, it just randomly wipes the latest one of the nearest dungeons, and, you know, you get some random NPC saying, you know, my young child Timmy's gone to this dungeon because he's a moron. Please go save him. And I'm expecting this in Starfield. Yeah, we've lost a trading ship on planet Clindathu 5236. Can you go rescue the trading ship, please? So, I'm worried about how diverse, and I don't see the point in 1,000 planets. There's no real need. It's No Man's Sky, but wanting to be No Man's Sky more.
I really think, you know, it should be seen as additional, you know, it's not exclusive to uncrafted content. In fact, they've said that Starfield has more uncrafted content than any game they've done so far.
They'll have a lot of handcrafted as well. I'm not disputing that. I just mean they bump in between, you know, like filler episodes. When you're watching a good series, you're watching the lore. Like, think of the X-Files. How many bump filler episodes were there? And I just don't want too much of that.
Yes, but, you know, with the X-Files, you still have to watch them because you don't know it's a filler episode until you watch it.
And that's here, the worry.
But no, because in this case, you will actually, they already said that it will be clear which content is handcrafted and which is not. Specifically, which planet has handcrafted content and which doesn't. So basically, you will be able to choose. If you go into that planet, it will be mostly, you know, if it's a barren planet, like an ice ball, for example, you go there mainly to mine, to maybe create an outpost, get resources, stuff like that, not to do quests. That's why I'm saying it's additional. If you want to do that, you can do it. But if you want to just do the quests, then you don't go there, and you don't have any kind of filler episode issue.
I know, you know? Filler episodes can be good, and I just want the good fillers. you know what I mean, though. I just think sometimes it's the same as I've said before when it comes to Ubisoft games when they make open world. Sometimes it's content for the sake of content's sake. Rather than keeping things tight and, you know, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, when you're doing a space game, you really want to sell that it has scale. Like, if you do, for example, The Outer Worlds, I enjoyed it, but it only had, like, 3 planets, and they were really small. so it didn't really feel like you were in a galaxy. So if you need to have scale in a space game, of course you need procedural generation. Otherwise, the game will never come out.
You mean Star Citizen?
Yeah, that as well. But, you know, like I said, and also I was talking to Francesco earlier when you had that call. And I think one of the big reasons they've chosen to do over 1,000 planets is also because of the modding scene. Because basically all of that real estate will be essentially free for modders to create whatever they want without interfering with what Bethesda actually made itself for the other planets. You know?
Yeah, that's so fair. That's a fair point.
I think, as I was discussing with Francesco, there is a lot of, hollow criticism that it's being kind of thrown at this game. You know, they're saying it's basically a copy of No Man's Sky, when I think it couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, No Man's Sky doesn't really have... they added quests and stuff like that, but it's nowhere near the level of complexity of a Bethesda game, you know? So it's not really...
I do agree with you, but we won't know until it's out, will we? That's the thing. We can assume it's going to be like the old Bethesda's quest lines, but until it comes out, we can never guess. But you're right, and yeah, that people are probably wrong about that.
It's a bit unfair, right? It feels like I'm just shitting on the game for no reason.
I've got a reason to shit on the game. I just don't know if it's... You know, I'm just worried about how buggy it's going to be.
Everyone expects that to play bugs on day one when I'm playing the game.
Oh, no. You expect bugs, but I just hope it's not as bad as it has been. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, that's... I think that may be one of the big reasons they dropped their November 11th release date. I mean, that date was really important to them. You know, it was the 11th anniversary of Skyrim. So I think if
they just
dropped it...
release it on the phone now, then.
So I think they had probably a long talk with the Microsoft, and they decided, let's polish it more. So that's probably why it got delayed. And
they probably don't want another Cyberpunk 2077 situation.
I genuinely think after Fallout 76 and then seeing the backlash against Cyberpunk, most big companies are probably going to think twice now and think, yeah, we probably are better off just giving it a bit more time.
The backlash is just too big now to just take a risk.
But there was also, I think, another game at the showcase, Forza Motorsports, originally people thought it would be releasing this year. But that game actually isn't coming this year either. So I think that's one of the kind of issues that the Xbox is having this year. It doesn't really have many big games coming out, exclusives, of course, I mean. But on the other hand, it does look like Forza could be, very interesting. It does have lots of new features like... ray tracing on the track, which I'm sure Chris loves. And but seriously, it has dynamic time of day, weather on all tracks, and also supposedly it has a much improved simulation of the car physics and whatnot. So what did you think, Chris?
I play all the racing games anyway, so it's going to be down to me. All the new features, dynamic time of day, dynamic weather, the physics, all that, it's bringing it up to the standards of games like Codemasters games, essentially. Yeah, all those will be welcome features. It'll be interesting to see how the cars do handle. It's nice. It's easy for them to say the physics have been brought up, but until you actually handle them, you don't know in real life. Well, not in real life, but in-game real life. As for ray tracing, I couldn't honestly give a shit. Well, we all know it's like, fair enough, good visuals. You know, that's all nice. I've never been one for the visual side of things. You know, if a game looks nice, I like a good art direction more than, you know, ultra-powered ray tracing future bollocks. Give me a good art direction any day over that. Which is why games like Akami still hold up, because they just look gorgeous.
Yeah.
I remember just when it was on, just having a quick quip about where they said, like, yeah, with the collision and everything, every single scratch in the car is unique. I'm like, that's bullshit. I don't believe that for a second. Simply because it would probably be impossible to actually make that sort of detail, even in the current generation. I do think that would be far too time intensive and impossible.
And to be honest, it's a waste of time.
And yes, waste of time. It's no different to fucking Red Dead Redemption 2's horse shit.
Yeah.
Or horse testicles or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was the physics for the horse test.
Why waste your time on that shit? You don't, you know, just make, as long as the dents and everything look realistic enough, you don't need, and again, I genuinely do not believe it where they say every little scratch is like perfected, unique. It's like, no, it isn't. Don't lie to me. Especially because I was watching the trailer and the gameplay or whatever they were showing. And when the cars collided, the scratches didn't match how they should look if it really happened. I know these things. I've crashed enough cars.
I mean, Gran Turismo 7 still doesn't have any real, even aesthetic damage, right?
No, to be fair, I can't remember. Honestly, I haven't played it in that long and I don't really give a shit.
They have microtransactions.
Yes, then that's the thing.
lots of them.
Forza needs Microsoft, and they probably will do this, as I said. I think they fucked up with the last main Forza entry by, they were going to put microtransactions in. They ended up, due to the early backlash, ended up pulling them out. So people tried to defend them, saying, well, it doesn't cost money. I'm like, it was going to, and they announced it. Just because they pulled back from the backlash doesn't mean you should, you know, praise them. I don't think they're going to do any of that. Same as everything, the aim is Game Pass. The aim is subscribers. The aim is, you know, selling a copy every now and then, but it is all about Game Pass. And microtransactions aren't fully conducive to... For certain games, yes, you can understand it. Free-to-play games, maybe really cheap entry games, or with a few cosmetics. But for a game like Forza, if they started trying to sell cars or progression, as they did in the previous game, that would not work. So it's going to be free of all that shite. And I'm giving you a lot of leeway here, Microsoft, so don't mess it up.
I've
praised Microsoft a lot over the past few years. It's starting to make me feel dirty. I shouldn't be praising companies.
But
it'll be interesting. Like you said,
About the Game Pass thing, I wonder if subscriptions will. If the subscriptions growth will slow down this year, yes. Because like I said, there is kind of Pentiment, there is Dark Tide, which is looking cool on Game Pass, but there aren't really any big games coming out this year.
I think
and then yeah.
Just on that point, just before you move on to a new game on then, subscription growth will probably slow, partly as a result of games, partly because they've already got people interested, but also the massive cost of living crisis that's hitting everywhere.
Well, yeah, that's true. Although, I mean, subscriptions could be seen as a way to get access to more games cheaper, you know?
Also a good point, yeah.
But, yeah, like I was saying, you know, the end of 2022 is kind of barren when it comes to first-party games from Microsoft. And then, like in the first half of 2023, they're supposedly launching Redfall, Starfield, Forza Motorsport. So it's there's a lot of games coming out at once.
What is it with every bloody games company wanting to launch every game in the first 3 months of a year now? I know it's just before the financial year ends, but bloody hell. This year, February, chaos. Last year, February, chaos. Year before, February, chaos.
Yeah, next year is looking the same.
Yeah, they kind of figured out that, you know, all of the games don't have to be crammed into the holiday release window. Actually, it's better if they aren't. So, you know, I think Capcom was one of the first publishers that had a lot of success with earlier releases.
Mm.
You know, they released a bunch of games in January, February, and they went well. And then I guess other people noticed.
I think that's the problem, though. Everybody's buggered off from the holiday window and everybody's gone to
February. Yeah.
It's like, oh, good, that game did well in February. Let's move every single game ever there now. No, that's defeating the point.
Yeah.
Release a game in August, you silly bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, the interesting thing, the twist, is that, like you said, from, you know, this holiday season doesn't have much. But Sony could actually, you know, if they manage to release God of War Ragnarok in November, they could make a killing. Because Microsoft moved Starfield away. I mean, imagine if Sony could say, let's release God of War Ragnarok on November 11th.
They're going to do that. If they release it in November, they will do that. It just makes too much sense.
Well, we've got to wait 4 days' time. And I don't know if it's out in Europe yet, but the new PlayStation Plus subscription thing comes out as well, doesn't it? I think it's in 4 days here in the UK.
Yeah, it's coming out soon. We do still have some games coming out this year that are interesting, I think. Another game that I enjoyed from the showings is the Callisto Protocol. Not sure what you think, but I think it looks good. I mean, it's obviously a lot like Dead Space. But, you know, it is interesting because Dead Space fans didn't have a lot for many years, and now they're getting the Callisto Protocol December and then Dead Space Remake in January. So it's a good time for them, I guess. And then also I do hope we still get Hogwarts Legacy, which was not anywhere to be seen at these showcases. Yeah. But, you know, my hope is that it's still coming out maybe this November, like late November.
Nice birthday present for me. Thank you, Alessia.
But, yeah, I think it's a good time to catch up on your backlog, if you do have one.
Yes.
Yeah.
And on that, I am playing, well, not even a backlog, it's just started playing the new Starship Troopers game, which is all right. It's, you know, it's missing a play though. It really should be like They Are Billions, a swarm game, swarm defense game, and it's got elements of that in. But they need just one full game mode where it's like massive swarm defense. It's Starship Troopers. You should be getting hoarded by billions of bugs.
Yeah. I guess. Makes sense. What about you, Francis? What are you playing, Francesco?
Ooh, I've played so many things that I kind of forgot. Well, I can. There's a couple of things I can talk about because I can't talk about it too early. Then again, I tried two games. In these few past days, one is still Rising, and that is the Souls-like from Spiders, one of the developers of Greedfall, among other games. And it's actually pretty interesting because it feels more like Bloodborne than Dark Souls. It has this is an alternate history setting. It's set during the French Revolution, and the revolution actually failed because the king, Louis XVI, I think, I don't remember. I should review my history.
The robot army.
I used the robot army to stop the revolution, and it's actually pretty interesting. It has a lot of interesting stuff, and there's a little bit more role playing than the usual Souls-like experience. I think it still needs a bit of tweaking when it comes to the action, because some attacks are very slow and you get punished very easily. Even if you hit the enemy, you get punished for them. So there's still a little bit of tweaking to do, but they're using the setting in a very creative way. And it feels a lot like Bloodborne. And even the passage of time, you start the game and it's still in the afternoon, and then as you progress, it gets at nighttime. It's very haunting. I think it will do good if they manage to tweak these few things here and there. Then I played another game that looks very, very fun to play, and I'm happy because it's been made by an Italian team, and it's called Solstice. It's a character action game in the vein of Bayonetta and Devil May Cry. It's been inspired by some popular anime and manga shows like Berserk and Claymore. And it plays great. It almost feels like it's been made by Platinum Games at their best, not at their Babylon's Falls form. It plays great, it feels great. And I'm happy because it's an Italian team that has developed it. And it's not really the type of game that is developed over here. They're more into the point-and-click adventure style of the classic role-playing game. And it plays great, and I think they're going to release a public demo, if they haven't already, but I think they will. And it's very, very, very fun to play. It really doesn't feel like an indie game at all. It really feels like a bigger production. And I think it will do good. I just tried the demo they sent to the press was just a single stage, so... We haven't played much, but what I played, I think it will be very, very good. It has everything you want from this type of game.
Yeah, that's good. We definitely need, I think, more Italian games. Right. Yeah, because they tend to be a lot about, of course, racing with Milestone, yeah. But also, and Kunos Simulazione, but... Also, there's a lot of walking simulation games or horror games that Italian developers do. But it is nice to see them tackling something else, like more complex, like action games.
Yeah. As I said, it doesn't really feel like it's an indie game. It's very polished.
Yeah, I'm guessing it probably doesn't have a lot of... Like, it's probably not a big game, right? In terms of...
Yeah, probably not. It's going to probably... If we see similar games, probably at 10 years. Yeah, sorry, 10 years. 10 hours long game.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
How about you then, Alessio? What are you playing?
Honestly, not much new. Just playing a bit of... Life is Strange Remastered. Before the Storm prequel, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Game Pass, but not much else. I'm waiting for the Outriders expansion. So I will be playing that soon. and that will be quite a lot of fun, I think. So, yeah, I think, like I said, it's a good time to catch up on the games that you might have missed from the previous years, and because I think in 2023 there will be a lot of big titles. There's also Breath of the Wild 2, for example, and many games. I do hope to see Avowed not too long in the future. I mean, because it's probably a bit further out than we thought, but I do still hope to see it either in late 2023 or early 2024. Could be possible. And, you know, first person RPG set in the Pillars of Eternity universe could be big. It could be kind of Obsidian's Skyrim moment, you know, if they make it right. So it would be very interesting to see. And there's a lot of games just on the horizon, but, you know, just not in the near future. So
Retro Review time then.
Sorry?
Retro Review time then.
yeah, absolutely.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, we can review some of the games we have missed in the past crazy years.
God, yeah. Oh, well, fair enough. Well, in that case, I will get back to killing bugs. And Francesco can get back to, well, wearing the same shirt forever. And never. I think it's frozen, actually. Yeah, I think he's frozen. Well, on Francesco's frozen moment, we will say see you all later. Bye.
Isa or Elsa.
Oh, God. No, not that frozen.